Isn't Jesus brilliant? He is a genius. You can smile because that is certainly an understatement. Jesus is a divine person. So it is grossly understated to say that Jesus is brilliant. Of course he's brilliant. He is a genius. He is God. Yet every time I read today's glorious gospel, I am inspired by how brilliant Jesus really is. The scribes and the Pharisees bring to the temple where Jesus is teaching a woman caught in the very act of committing adultery. In the first place, I want to know, how does one catch someone in the very act of committing adultery? I mean, really, 2,000 years ago, there were no hidden cameras. There were no hidden microphones 2,000 years ago. Did they hide out in the bedroom? I mean, how is that even possible? In addition, if they caught them in the very act of committing adultery, where's the man? If the scribes and Pharisees caught them in the very act of committing adultery, why did they only catch the adulterous woman? Did the man have time to run away? It's all very suspicious to me. Verse 6 tells us exactly what the scribes and Pharisees are thinking. They're not concerned with justice. They're not concerned for the adulterous woman's soul. Verse 6 tells us precisely that they said this to test Jesus, that they might have to bring some charge against him. They're testing him. They don't care about the woman. They're just using her to test and to trap and to trick Jesus. And the scribes and Pharisees think they are pretty brilliant. They think they're pretty smart. They've come up with a perfect trap for Jesus. Why? If Jesus forbids the stoning of the adulterous woman, the Pharisees will discredit him as a false prophet. He can't be the Messiah. He contradicts Moses. For the Bible clearly classifies adultery as a crime punishable by death. Take a look at Leviticus 20:10. If a man commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. Says the same thing in Deuteronomy 22:22. If a man is discovered lying with a woman who is married to another, they both shall die. Both the adulterer and the adulteress deserve the death penalty, not just the woman. Again, where is that adulterous man? So it's clear, if Jesus says, don't stone her, the Pharisees will say, see, Jesus, remember when you said that I have not come to abolish the law? Remember that? You were lying. Now, on the other hand, if Jesus authorizes the stoning in accord with Leviticus 20:10 and Deuteronomy 20:22, then the Pharisees will report him to the Romans. Why? Because the Jewish leaders were not permitted to administer capital punishment under Roman rule. You see, that's why when Jesus is on trial before Pontius Pilate, Pilate tells the scribes and the Pharisees, oh, just take Jesus away and just judge him according to your law, whatever you want to do. And the scribes and Pharisees respond, oh, it's not lawful for us to put a man to death according to Roman rule. So you see, if Jesus forbids the stoning, he will not be faithful to the law of God in the Old Testament, and he'll be endorsing adultery. If Jesus authorizes the stoning in conjunction with the Old Testament, then he will be arrested by the Romans. They got Jesus. And Jesus brilliantly gets out of this trap. He says, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." That is brilliant. Brilliant. He neither approves the stoning nor forbids it. He does not say that she must be stoned to death according to the law, nor does she say, "Don't you dare stone her." What a brilliant answer. He catches the scribes and the Pharisees in their own trap, and he twists it, and he puts it right back on them. You see, if the scribes and Pharisees declare themselves innocent, which they probably would, right? If they say, "Oh, we are totally innocent, we're the scribes and the Pharisees," and they throw a stone at the woman, someone's going to report them to the Roman authorities for disobeying Roman law. And if they walk away, they publicly declare to the whole world that they are sinners. Isn't Jesus brilliant? Brilliant. So rather than being arrested and punished by the Romans for killing the adulterous woman according to Mosaic law, they choose to walk away and declare to the whole world that they're sinners. Jesus is brilliant. And after they all walk away, Jesus is left alone with the adulterous woman. Just Jesus and the woman. St. Augustine says so beautifully in his comment on this passage, he says, "Relicti sunt duo miseria et misericordia." Stunning, isn't it? Two remain, miseria et misericordia. Misery and mercy. Stunning. Misery, the adulterous woman, and mercy, who is Jesus. Misery, face to face with mercy. And Jesus says, "I do not condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." Brilliant, brilliant. He does it again. He neither condones nor condemns the woman. He neither condones and approves it, nor does he condemn her. He doesn't say, "Adultery is no big deal. Don't worry about it. That's not a big deal." In fact, Jesus acknowledges clearly that she's a sinner. He doesn't condemn nor condone. He challenges her to conversion. Lots of C words, isn't it? He neither condemns nor condones. He challenges her to conversion. You remember what the third luminous mystery of the rosary is? We haven't been praying the luminous mysteries for a long time, just about, 20 years or so? The luminous mysteries, we usually pray them on Thursday. What's the third luminous mystery? You might know it's the It's the proclamation of the kingdom. Most people leave out the second part, not here at Sacred Heart when we do the rosaries in the morning. What's the full third mystery? The proclamation of the kingdom and the call to conversion. The proclamation of the kingdom and the call to conversion. Jesus brilliantly is calling the adulterous woman to conversion. He doesn't condemn the adulterous woman. He gives her a second chance. He challenges the woman to change her life, to stop sinning, to put an end to adultery once and for all. Brilliant. He neither condemns nor condones, but challenges her to conversion. Miseria et misericordia. Miseria et misericordia. misery face to face with mercy. And as you know, by externally, we're in the last 2 weeks of Lent, right? The last 2 weeks of Lent are called Passion Tide. And as an external sign that we're in Passion Tide, all the crucifixes and statues are covered up. We go into this intense time now before Easter. And during these next 2 weeks of Passion Tide, everyone will have an opportunity to make a good, honest, humble confession in the sacrament of penance. In confession, there's no one else who's condemning us. Just two people in confession: misery and mercy. That's it. In confession, it's just us. Misery. Face to face with Jesus, who is mercy. It's exactly like how it will be in our particular judgment after we die. Just us face to face with Jesus. Misery and misericordia and mercy. What a joy. What a joy to be able to celebrate Easter after having made a good confession in the sacrament of penance. An honest, humble, complete confession. Misery face to face with mercy. We hope to hear those stunning words. Brilliant, holy words. In the sacrament of penance, in the next 2 weeks, I do not condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore.